and welcome to another episode of 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me this week is Max Hamilton. We're a little bit light today. We're missing both Tom and John because of some scheduling issues, but don't worry. We should have back up to the regular number next week. For this week, though, we didn't want to leave you guys hanging and just skip the show or anything, so at very least, Max and I want to talk about the games we've been playing this week and maybe touch on one or two things that we've heard in the news. So, Max, how are you doing this week?
Good. Yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Been kind of a nice casual week to catch up on some games I haven't been playing. I've been playing a pretty diverse group now, so what are you up to?
Yeah, it is the season to tackle your backlog. I am proud to say that after years of it being out, I finally beat Journey. I decided to do the single playthrough like it's meant to be, and I absolutely loved it. It's a pretty cool wild journey, if
awesome.
You will.
Awesome. So for people who have never touched Journey, I know we kind of talked about it a bit last week, but I'm not sure we got into it too much.
Not too much, no.
Can you tell people, like, what is Journey? What kind of game is it? What do you do?
So Journey is a platformer to an extent, but it is not, I wouldn't say challenging. It is something that, you know, you're meant to just kind of enjoy the art and the environment and kind of put the pieces together of the story, if you can call it that. Basically, there's no dialogue, there's no wording or anything like that. It's very open to interpretation, and there's a lot of cool theories out there after you beat the game, kind of seeing how everyone took it. But yeah, basically you go on this journey from A to B, and you start in the desert, and you're just kind of wandering around as this lone figure, robed figure, and you can kind of earn these little like scarf pieces to allow you to fly or jump further and farther. And every now and then, since you're connected to the internet, or if you are connected to the internet, you'll encounter other players and stuff, and you can't interact other than kind of pinging each other with a sort of just sonar noise, but you can journey together, if you will, and at the end it actually kind of shows everyone you've ever encountered on your journey, which is kind of a cool closing to that.
That is a really nice touch. Yeah, I mean, it's a very minimalist kind of game, right?
Very much so, yes.
Like, lots of just, like, when he says you're in the desert, it's literally just vast open expanses of sand as far as the eye can see.
And it looks very, very pretty on PlayStation 4, and it looked good when it came out, regardless, on PS3.
That's one that I really wanted to touch on, but as far as I know, that's a Sony exclusive, right?
It is,
yeah. Yep. Which is a shame. But, you know, maybe I'll check it out. I do have a buddy recently who's been letting me play around on his PS4, so maybe he'll pick it up and I can try it out on there.
There you go. It's discounted right now, and if you had it before, it's a free download. So.
Yes. Oh, and for those who are fans of cell shading, it has very cell shaded-ish looking
graphics. It does, yes. So yeah, for most of it.
It is a really good looking game. If you are a big fan of games as art, I highly recommend this one.
It's one of the best out there for that.
What else have you been up to?
Well, I am still stuck on Rocket League, and there was some exciting news today that there's going to be some DLC coming for it. It's definitely taking the PlayStation scene by storm, as well as Steam, but it being free on the PS Plus membership helped it out for sure. But yeah, we're getting some new hats, two new car models, some different boosts and things like that, and a free arena to drive around in, $3.99. So get
it
while it's hot.
That's not too bad.
No, I was kind of worried that with all the free downloads that they were going to kind of just jump on the monetization of it. But
sure.
I mean, as long as they're fair like that, and they did come out and say that all arenas will always be free to all players.
That is great. Yeah. So they're not cutting up the player
base.
Nope,
it's purely cosmetic stuff. And it's nice because there's maybe, I think, 8 or 9 cars right now, and each one handles exactly the same. It is all cosmetic.
Sure. So I've gotten to play it now since last time we talked. I played it for probably about 10 minutes with one of my buddies, and I like it. I should say I like it for a game that is both about sports and racing, which are two things I'm not very interested in.
Right. They did manage to combine that well.
However, there was one sticking point. There's a reason I only played for 10 minutes, and I'm curious if the patch addressed this issue. Have they added a penalty for quitting matches?
There is not a penalty yet, and unfortunately, I'll admit, I've done that quite a bit from the ranked modes because I will be a pro rank, and I'll get matched with a rookie, and it's basically myself against two other pros, and then it's not the best matchmaking, unfortunately.
They
right
need
now.
I mean, I'm not even concerned about the matchmaking. They need to add some kind of wrist slap for leaving.
Oh, they
the
do
game.
Absolutely,
because like at the moment I played three matches, and two of them, more than half my team, dropped out after the first point.
And, you know, maybe part of it is just you really shouldn't tackle ranked until you're ready to, but obviously that's the only way you're going to increase in those numbers.
Right.
And I'm not speaking specifically.
Well, and I was playing on my friends.
Right, and I'm not speaking specifically to you, but the nice thing is when I was playing the unranked stuff, for one part, it is a different game. The chaos is just more so, and people don't care as much. But if someone does drop, they'll put a bot in, and the bots are fairly competent.
That's something, at least.
Yeah, but in ranked mode, obviously, you're not going to see that.
Sure. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm very interested to see how this game continues to develop because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm flabbergasted by its success. I mean, it's a fun game, but, I mean, I can't believe how much people are loving it.
It's such an odd concept. I think what happened is they made it look pretty, and they nailed the mechanics of it as far as the controls, and a lot of people are saying they feel like it's an extension of themselves, so it does, you know, what you want it to do. One cool thing for anyone that likes to follow this game is follow it on Kotaku, because they're always throwing out replays and best of videos and things like that, and there's some pretty crazy players pulling off some cool stunts and tricks in it.
Yeah, I think I saw an article on that today called "You'll Never Be This Good at Rocket League."
Yes,
that would be amazing.
That's the one I was thinking of. Basically, a car was flying through the air and managing to juggle the ball and hit it right in.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, that's quite interesting. Well, let's break it up a little bit, and I'll talk about some of the stuff that I've been playing. We can come back. So I've been continuing to delve into Serious Sam 3. I'm just kind of picking away at it. If you haven't played any of the Serious Sam games, it's a first-person shooter of the very old-school style, where it's you can carry every single gun in the game at once. Ammo conservation is relevant. Enemies deal large amounts of damage, no regenerating health. It's very difficult. I mean, it's hundreds of enemies on screen at a time, I would say. I'd say at least one or 200 at certain times. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I did pick up Serious Sam 3 in the summer sale, so
Nice.
I'm looking forward to jumping into it. I haven't touched it before, though.
It's a lot of fun. It's really campy. It's not, I mean, you won't laugh at a single joke in it, most likely. You may smirk it, but it won't be laughing with them, that's for sure.
Would you compare the humor to, like, the Duke Nukem series? Or?
No, because it's not, like, bigoted. It's just, like, lame. Like, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's like his thing is that he always blows stuff up.
Okay.
And then he gets yelled at by the person on his, like, radio.
Part of the appeal, I'm sure, though.
I guess. They're not spectacular-looking explosions, but I feel like I've never played the Serious Sam games for, you know, the graphics. It's really about, like, the gameplay. And so all I really need is being able to bunny hop around with a sawn-off shotgun and shoot people in the face. Like, it's a lot of just really good core gameplay. To be honest, I play it like with just gun sounds on, so I can hear the suicide guys screaming as they run up to you. It's quite interesting. It's a game that I would recommend to anyone who's never really gotten to play an old school shooter, or someone who misses playing them. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend that.
Does sound like they put a lot of love into it. I did catch that Kotaku article about some of the secrets that are still being found today, if you came across that.
Well, that was actually Serious Sam, the original.
Oh, it was.
Talking
okay.
About in
gotcha.
The article. I did also catch that article. For those who didn't see that news story, it appears that now it's 14 years after the initial release of the game, which came out in 2001. They have finally found there's two secret levels in the first Secret Sam game, and one of them had only been beaten by exploiting like a weird rocket jump type glitch, and so they have just now finally, someone opened the map in the game's map editor and was able to figure out how to actually properly trigger the ending of the secret level. And it's pretty interesting. I'm a huge fan. That's one of the biggest facets that I really enjoy about the Serious Sam games, is that they, like in the first game, if you know what you're doing, I'm pretty sure that you can get a rocket launcher literally in the first room of the game. And if you don't, you don't get it for like another level and a half or something. Like, I love that kind of early introduction, rewarding for exploration and just like solid level design with secret areas, you know?
Yeah, you don't see a whole ton of the secrets thrown in these days.
No, I mean, skulls are kind of like that, I think, in Halo, but I mean, it's
more so just like kind of collection items,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, exactly. Like now, you know, I've also been playing a little bit of Wolfenstein 3D on my phone, which I think that plays great on phone.
Games
from the era that didn't have Y-axis movement, translate really well to a phone just because you don't need to have super precise input. And there's a game, again, where you can get items levels early by exploring the level fully, and I'm always a fan of that stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was actually just going to say, even the Old Blood, well, not just the Old Blood, but the Wolfenstein, the New Order, had plenty of secret passages, and I like how it actually shows you, you know, how many you've collected, how many you're in a level, and kind of just a throwback to the good old days. There's not enough of that, I feel, in today's games.
Definitely, and that's why, I mean, as much as I had some issues with the New Order, I really, really did enjoy the throwback type stuff. I wish there had been a lot more gun variety in that game. That's probably my biggest complaint about it. They only hit the expected gun types, in my opinion. I really liked, what was it, the old blood, the DLC that just came out? I really enjoyed that. Like, that was a solid standalone. And I'm pretty sure that doesn't require the
main game. Nope, I believe you can buy it on your own.
So that's pretty exciting. But let's move it on to something that both of us got to play this week. As always, we've been delving into Hearthstone, and I think you have an admission you might want to make to everyone.
I did, yes. I said that Hearthstone won. Henry just says that I lost, but I ended up... Well, first, I was getting tired of hoarding my gold, so I spent a couple bucks, maybe a bit more than that, on the single-player expansion sets.
How much did you spend?
So I had gotten a couple open in the first one, so that cost me 15. The next was 20. I wanted a $10 set of both the Goblins and Gnomes and original packs, and then I bit the bullet on the pre-order for the new expansion coming out. Henry is shaking his head.
Good Lord. Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm the kind of person, and I know that this is a type of free-to-play gamer, who I take free-to-play games as a personal challenge not to spend any money. Like, I won't spend money on Hearthstone out of principle.
Okay.
If someone gave me $2 and said, you can only have this if you buy two packs or whatever, I'd say no. Or actually, I think it's three for two packs. But point being, I wouldn't want to taint what I've worked for so many months to keep pure
right.
by spending cash on it.
And I can definitely respect that. The reason that I finally hopped on is I read a really interesting breakdown of Hearthstone and what its future might have to be or could be by Polygon. And they're basically just saying how, you know, as more and more packs come out and people haven't completed the front end of the game, or I suppose it would be the back end, the older stuff, it's going to be harder and harder for them to compete with the people getting all the brand new stuff as it releases.
I mean, that's yes and no. I mean, that's true of literally every TCG ever made.
Yes.
As somebody who played Magic for like 15 years, I really, that's just how the game is played. But also, I expect similarly to how Magic card, like non-rare card prices start to deflate before they become retro and then go back up.
Right.
I expect that they're either going to start giving people the basic set in the next expansion or two, or they're going to like half or quarter the dust cost of singles from those older sets. I don't think there's any way that everything is going to stay the same.
That's kind of
price.
Exactly what the article was touching on. But another perspective, that wasn't the only reason I jumped on it, but it's just, you know, it's a game I've been playing for quite some time. I have no problem supporting them, and, you know, it is the game I spend the most time on.
Sure. So. Well, and I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm being a bit of a hypocrite about this because while I won't spend any money on Hearthstone, like I said, 15 years of Magic,
right.
I've spent tens of thousands of dollars on Magic cards. That's one of the reasons that I switched to Hearthstone was I went, oh, I get the same feeling from winning and it plays very similarly, but I don't have to spend $25 just to play in a tournament.
A question for you on a related topic. The Magic app has come out now, free to play, exactly like Hearthstone. Have you given it a shot or looked into it at all?
Nope, and I don't intend to. Not interested in any of the Hearthstone clones. I actually vastly prefer the Warcraft lore to the Magic lore.
Okay.
And honestly, Hearthstone is not displeasing me about any... My biggest beef with Hearthstone is those single-player campaigns, which, if anything, those will be probably what I would spend money on. I wouldn't buy random cards, but I maybe would just unlock at least one of those. But no, I don't have any inclination to play that or any of the other Hearthstone clones that we're seeing announced right now. It's just, you know, maybe if they get a huge player base, but the best part about Hearthstone is the vast skill, you know, huge amounts of different skill levels and all that stuff.
There's just, it just feels good to play and, you know, pulling off a win or just owning somebody coming out of nowhere, something they didn't see. I will dabble in the Elder Scrolls card game just sure. to see what it's about, though.
I would like to touch on one thing that I think we might mention just as a monthly fun little thing. What is your high rank for this month?
Oh, I got to 18. That was it. I was struggling.
Honestly, I don't think that you should have to apologize because in this at this point, first of all, no, this is a judgment-free zone. Well, I don't care what rank you got to. I think what matters is because the player base is getting so big and the number – because you get kind of reset every month.
Right.
All month there are people who haven't played in at least a month that are coming in who are, oh, I'm rank 25 to start out and I have every legendary in the game. So, like, it's very, I mean, it's totally, the skill level of a level 19 literally runs the full gamut of skill levels in the game. You know right. what I mean? It's not like at level 20 you're fighting significantly easier people than at 16. It's really, can you get a good luck streak and get all the way down? My high rank this month is 15, but to be honest, I have been rebuilding all of my decks from scratch because I'm trying to. This is my first real push to upgrading my decks since okay. Goblins vs. Gnomes came out. So I'm trying to sort of fill out, like I'm building a Zulok deck instead of a Handlock deck and that kind of stuff.
You know what a dirty combination that I came up with because I'm still dicking around with my the guy that duplicates himself. Anyways, I got
a mirror entity.
Yes.
Oh no, you're talking about the brawler, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the one that everyone wants to see nerfed. But yeah. Regardless, there's a mech where Grim Patron.
Yes, Grim Patron. Patron.
There is a mech where you toss it on the field, and it's I believe it's a legendary, and it gives every single one of your minions either Divine Shield, Taunt, or I want to say
Wind Fury.
Wind Fury, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And boy, that gets people pretty good.
Yeah, that's nuts. I had a Patron Warrior drop. Let's see, Grim Patron into the Orc that gives all Grim Patrons anything 3 or less power charge. Gosh, I'm using all these magic things. I'm sorry. Gives them. Yes, no, charge is the right one. Okay, so
it
gives all of the Grim Patrons charge, and then he combos it with multiple Whirlwinds in his hand, plus that legendary. And it was just like, he played like 8 Grim Patrons, and they had like all of the buffs. It was the worst. He beat me for over 30 damage one turn.
I tinkered with it today, and a guy had gotten me down. I didn't touch him. He was about 40 health because of some shields, and armor, I guess, and he got me down to 2 life, and I came back with my little patron combo and won the match.
That's
so
great. I mean, I try to stay away from the cheesy builds in each given set, but I also realize the futility of doing that, because if everybody else is doing it, I'm not a better person for not doing it. Maybe in my own head, but you
right.
know, nobody else cares if I do or don't do it. Personally, I probably will refrain from using patron for a while. But that's also because I haven't pulled him from a pack yet. So,
sure.
Yeah. So that's enough about Hearthstone, though.
Blizzard is going to have to start paying us.
Right. Well, speaking of, one of the other things I've been continuing to play this week is more Diablo 3, which I'm really excited for the new patch that's coming out. I don't know if everyone has seen it, but essentially what it's going to do is add in the Herodric Cube-style functionality from the Diablo 2 games. It's basically like a... It's a box with slots in it that you can put items into and then combine certain item types into either a more powerful version of that item. It's like transmutation in a lot of games nowadays, they'll call it. And the big thing that they're introducing, and this was not in Diablo 2, is the ability to strip unique effects off of legendary items. So if you have, let's say, I have a wizard my wizard has... a legendary item that makes it so that when he uses his explosive blast, it triggers 3 more times for free afterwards. And theoretically, I'd be able to strip that off the legendary item, equip a different item in that slot, and then you can equip the passive bonus as a separate, like, sort of buff-type item. And you don't need to have that same pair of boots or whatever it was on for the entire game. game.
Definitely a good reason to hop back in. I've been itching to play through a second time. I have the Xbox One version, so, well, I guess I've played through it twice now. I had the original, and I had
coming out simultaneously for you as well.
Right, which Witcher did the same thing. They popped out the latest patch on both PC and consoles at the same time, so it's nice to see kind of everyone getting the same attention.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And also, in addition, there won't be a better time to come in because they're also adding in a whole new zone, which is...
Really?
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, and it's a free patch, too. I mean, I'm really excited. And for those who want to see a really touching story, go read the patch notes on the forums. They talk about how the new cube is dedicated to one of their art directors who passed away last year. It's very, very sweet, and I think it's a really good read. But that's pretty much it for Diablo 3. I mean, it's still Diablo 3. It's a lot of fun. I'll let you guys know how the new patch is when it comes out.
Is it dated yet?
I did not see a date. Okay. It might be out there, but there wasn't one in the blue post that I was
reading. It's not far off, because usually once they announce, they're following up pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It's the preview is live, so it should be very soon. Yeah. That's pretty much it for Diablo 3. What else? Let's go back to you. What else have you been playing?
Yeah, well, I mentioned before that Dying Light was one of my go-to games lately, so I played some more of that. Still haven't beaten it. My brother and I are doing a full co-op playthrough, so we're taking our sweet time with it.
Oh, see, I can't play that story-driven game in co-op because I can't wait for my friends.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is just, and this is probably more on me, but it's a game that I'm not always feeling, so he's kind of waiting for me to be in the mood, I guess, to play it.
But, I definitely, binged it, and yeah. I know what you mean, because it does wear on you after a while.
But there's some exciting news, because they announced the DLC that is coming out.
Yes, and actually, it's not DLC, but rather standalone expansion, yes.
Fair enough, yes. Whole new area, and buggies that you can hop right out of and start slaying more zombies.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. We mean drivable buggies for once. It's going to be a lot of fun. You theoretically are going to be able to lean out, or they were reporting that you'll be able to lean out of the buggies and co-op and, shoot zombies while you're driving. And then also... The new map that you mentioned is supposedly the size of the other maps combined.
Yep. So it should be good.
That's nice. Although, I'll be honest, I was never really wishing that it was even further from point A to B in that game. As much as I love smashing zombies and just running around aimlessly, doing the objectives can be kind of exhausting sometimes, even in the original, if you have to go through the tunnels in the first zone.
Especially just how often, side quests would pop up and you think you'd collected them all or done them all and you'd revisit an area and nope, there's 100 more.
Have you gotten a certain thing that enhances your ability to move?
Yes, and it is fantastic.
Good. Well, then, yeah, because I was going to say that really changes everything.
Yep.
It seriously does, but I don't want to go into it because it was a very nice surprise for me when it happened.
I was not expecting
it. So that's really cool. I love Dying Light, and now that we've heard that Dead Island 2 is up in the air, I'm really happy to hear this because I've said this before, first-person melee is one of my favorite things in all of gaming, and I think Dying Light is probably, and now I might have to eat my words next week after I really have time to think about this, but I think Dying Light is the definitive zombie game. I can't think of anything that really stacks up for me even close. Nothing like Left 4 Dead 2.
Do you say that because we're getting zombie on the consoles
now? I saw that, actually. I'm really excited about that. That game really interested me. So we're getting Zombie U, except now they're dropping the U, like you mentioned. They're going to be porting it to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And for those who didn't know, it's a first-person zombie game, typical. But it has a really cool twist where when you die, your character is permanently dead, all your items fall to the ground, and you respawn as a different character, and you can actually go find your corpse. And from what I understand, you might even be able to, if you were killed by a zombie, you might even be able to fight yourself.
That would be kind of cool. It's set in London, too, I believe, right? I want to say that's the setting, but what are they doing? Do we get some new item story content? Is it going to look prettier than it did on the Wii U, hopefully?
Honestly, I think it'll probably look better in that it won't be downscaled, because I'm sure that they had to... the Wii U is not a very powerful console, and it was basically a launch title, so I have trouble believing it was terribly well optimized, although it was on a Nintendo console, so maybe not. But I doubt it. I didn't see anything in particular being touted as a new edition.
Okay.
I'm guessing we'll get, you know, Steam achievements and stuff like that.
But, I mean, it's definitely a game that interested me, obviously, no Wii U, but I will for sure be taking a look at it.
Yes, me too. I'm excited about that one. Oh, you might be interested to know, I have finally gotten around. I have a good friend who lives in the building with me with a PS4.
It's all about who you know.
Yes, and so he is letting me finally get my hands on Arkham Knight. I only got to play about an hour of it last night, but I have some gears that need grinding.
Let's grind those gears.
Okay, so the Batmobile.
I hear it's in that game.
You know, the first thing that I said when people asked me what I thought about Arkham Knight was I was very, very nervous about them forcing the Batmobile front and center. I've only played for an hour, and I'm already sick of the Batmobile. I hate it. It controls like a worm or something. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Just
the entire thing
everything.
Like wiggles. It's like it's on like a weird like multi-segmented axis that can.
I will concede that the points in the game, the side stories where you're driving down like enemy tanks and APCs, basically chase missions, are absolutely miserable because it is all your Batmobile is all over the place, so it's very hard to keep up or, you know, be on the right track that you're supposed to be.
Well, and it just doesn't feel like, even with the streets being like goofily oversized so that
right.
the Batmobile will fit on them, I just don't feel like I have enough time or control to make corners smoothly. Maybe
oh,
that's something that
you definitely
I can get
don't.
Better at, but
good luck.
The one thing I will say is at least it is very good at like pivoting and reversing when you miss a corner.
Right.
Nice.
I do like the battle mode's flexibility, but not so much.
I mean, it's a Wraith. I mean, from Halo. Like,
true.
It's good. I mean, but you're. I mean,
everything looks pretty. I do.
Well, that
like
was the other thing I was
going
to comment
things.
On. That was the other thing I wanted to comment on. I don't think it's very pretty. In fact,
really?
I think it looks dated. I mean, the effects are nice, but I can tell that this is the very best that we're going to get from the Unreal Engine. Like, it just doesn't. Wait, this is Unreal, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The characters still have that really weird sort of uncanny valley effect thing going
sure.
on, where
okay.
when you look at their faces, they don't look like real people, and it really throws me. Like, especially like some of the women in the game, like it looks like someone's giving them like a facelift or something. It's very strange.
Some handsome Jack action.
Yeah, and also, I get that. I know everyone has made this joke or this comment, but they emptied the city for the third
yes.
time and or the fourth time now. And,
well, I suppose they didn't really empty anything in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, fair enough. So the third time. But also, there's almost too many thugs. Like, I don't feel like, it feels like I'm literally, it's a one-man war, which they do say that in the beginning, but it's like,
right.
it's too much. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, I've only played an hour, so I'm not going to just bag on it. I obviously have a slight grudge just because of what happened with the PC version.
Right.
So I'm really hoping that the story, from what I've heard, will suck me in and make up for it.
Well, you know, just regarding the emptiness of the city, there was a pretty cool mod, and I forget what they called it, but basically, you know how the game opens up where you're in the diner and whatnot? So they made it so you could actually leave the diner while everything is happening.
Oh, interesting.
And so all the cars and people are still out and about the city, but the things that you weren't meant to see, it's basically just like, you know, cardboard stand-ins of people
right,
and, like,
right.
blocky cars running around. But
it's
still
to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. But it is still kind of cool to watch the video and see, you know, what the game could have been.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. You know, I've always been a fan of going outside of, like, what the game strictly wants you to.
Right.
One of my favorite things to do back in the day in Counter-Strike was to go into the skybox, because if you just went high enough above the level, you could actually see, like, the long-distance terrain. Like, there'd
sure.
be, like, skyscrapers in the background. And if you went high enough up into the sky, you could actually like clip through like an invisible barrier, and you'd be in like this miniature skybox area that's just like super low resolution version of all those towers that are being projected. always fun stuff. But yeah, I like seeing the nuts and bolts sometimes.
Well, once you finish the game, we'll have to consider doing an entirely standalone spoiler episode,
yeah,
like some of the other places
cast.
I've been. So.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely be down for that, and I'm sure John would love to weigh in as well.
Because there's some cool stuff to talk about in that game.
Definitely, definitely. What else have you been playing this week? I've been talking
about it. Well, I dived back into The Witcher 3. Like I mentioned last week, I just booted it up to check out what the patch was like.
Sure.
But definitely loving the new inventory and having some places to stash your gear.
Is this just you checking in again? Or
nope, I'm sticking with it this time. I feel like they've addressed everything I wanted. Text could have been a little bigger, and this could have been done a little sooner, I suppose. But yeah, I'm on board to finish my playthrough. I'm only 20-25 hours in, but I do want to have it done for that new game plus mode and basically play it again and make some different choices and
sure
cause some trouble.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I don't know, are you playing with the new control scheme?
I am, yes, and I do much prefer that. It's just,
can you weigh in on that again? I know you had touched
it
last week.
So there's some really great comparison videos out there, but basically the way he originally walked, the entire turn, all his awkward gait and everything was fully animated. It didn't turn on a dime like in most other games.
To give you guys an idea, basically if you would rotate the analog stick quickly, instead of like most games where your character really goofily spins as though they're like pinned to the ground, he would actually turn his whole body and his whole legs would turn around and walk in a circle. You couldn't just spin on the spot.
Now, and you still can't entirely spin on the spot, but it is much quicker and fluid, and you're just right back, you know, facing the items you want and into the action and good to go. And the combat, like I said last time, hasn't changed at all because you're locked into that combative stance.
That's good.
But yeah, no, it's I didn't see any improvement on the horse. I'm always running into things left and right with the horse. But
I think there's something to be said for, I kind of am affectionately forgiven
of Roach.
Yeah, yes. I kind of love Roach because every once in a while you'll be like, you know, you'll kill someone and turn around and Roach is floating through the air, you know?
Yes. Yeah, and I guess for Roach, I was hoping of an exact duplicate of Red Dead Redemption's horse riding, and it came pretty close, but it's just, I feel like I'll be going straight and he'll just randomly veer off into junk. Or
you
like,
say that, but I think what you're forgetting about Red Dead Redemption's horse stuff is that you could get caught on geometry in
that is
game.
True.
And
that is
I
true.
Think that what you're talking about is Roach sidestepping tiny pieces of geometry you're not seeing that in Red Dead probably would have brought you to a dead stop.
That's fair.
Because I've noticed that too, but it usually only happens when I'm in like ankle deep shrubbery or whatever.
Well, that's the thing is he'll just veer me off into a grouping of trees and I'll come to a stop anyways.
Right.
But, you know, he's trying. That's all we ask for.
Well, that's great that you're like really enjoying it. I think I am like soon. Now that I have Arkham Knight on my plate, it'll be a little bit longer, but I really do want to go back and play through that. I've been so busy with work and in the podcast and everything lately. These massive Western RPGs are really hard to set time aside to really dedicate to.
They'll eat up your time to be sure. And plus, you know, the DLC is coming out for The Witcher, another 30 hours. So
good God.
Hop on.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Is that pretty much it for you this week, or did you have anything
else? No, more or less. Hearthstone's eating up my time, so that's where I'm at.
Well, I still have one or two more things I played that you may find a little bit interesting. I haven't now. This is a weird one. I haven't actually played it yet, but I am right now at home downloading the World of Warcraft client again because they gave me 7 free days of playtime because they just released a new patch. So, for those of you who haven't touched Draenor in a while, you may want to revisit it because you can get 7 free days of game time. Now, I think that promotion literally ends tomorrow.
Okay.
It may even be tonight. So if you are interested, make sure you get in on it now.
Now, the promotion, as in they can get the 7 free days, the days don't end tomorrow.
No. Okay. You can only claim it.
Okay.
Exactly. And so I'll be very interested to see what the new patch is. I will weigh in on it for you guys. And yeah, I'm hoping that game is becoming slightly more fun. Because just to be honest, I would say the end game for Draenor is some of the weakest expansion content I've seen to date.
Any details on what's supposed to be in the patch yet?
Yeah, this is going to be adding in the final boss fight, I believe, for Draenor, which is going to be revisiting. Now, did you play WoW? You did, right?
Tinkered when it first came out, but not
okay.
Not
so
high level.
The first dungeon in the Burning Crusade expansion, the first one, is Hellfire Citadel, and you are visiting. It's really confusing to explain to a layman because Warlords of Draenor takes place in an alternate timeline of a different dimension where the orcs are from.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Fair enough.
But you're basically storming Hellfire Citadel in a different timeline than when it was already controlled by demons when you were first there. And so, like, all of the bosses of the Horde are there, of the new Iron Horde are there, and yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. I mean, it's cool. It's really interesting to me that they found a way to bring the Burning Legion back into the games, and I know this is probably sounding like another language for the most part to you, but
mostly.
The demons that corrupted the orcs have been kind of brought back in because they retconned a bunch of story by having this alternate timeline, but then they're sort of, it's still following in the same footsteps, so Gul'dan has tricked a lot of the orcs into joining with the Burning Legion again, which is what made them evil in the first place. It's really complicated. If we want to have a lore cast sometime, we can talk about I love the Warcraft lore. It's
maybe around
the
time the movie hits.
Exactly, because it's one of the only series that I've read like all the books for and really just enjoy. I like Blizzard properties because they all started out as parodies, kind of.
Sure.
Like, StarCraft is clearly Warhammer mashed up with, like, Starship Troopers, basically. And I love how it gains a life of its own and then actually becomes solid lore as they retcon it more and more and as the popularity builds and they build on it with new games and stuff like that. Because if you look at, like, the lore of Warcraft Humans versus Orcs and then you look at where it was at the end of Warcraft 3, it's night and day and it's really quite interesting. I love that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, since I haven't finished installing the client yet, I can't really say how some of the other patches have played out since last I played. So I want to talk about a very special game to me that I finally was able to play again for the first time in ages. Marvel vs. Capcom 2. It's my first real obsession in fighting games. I mean, I love Street Fighter. I've played that a lot as a kid, but when I first stumbled onto Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and found out that I could play as everyone from Wolverine to Spider-Man to Venom to, good lord, Gambit to the Sentinels to Juggernaut to Mega Man.
They really stuffed it
amazing.
Full.
It's amazing. It's so good. It has, I think, one of the best rosters of any fighting game, and I love the it's all Street Fighter 2 style combat, basically. I adore the game, and I have not been able to play it for ages because, for those who don't know, it was available for a little while on the Xbox Live Marketplace back during the 360 era,
right.
But a couple of years ago, the licensing expired, and everything was pulled from all the digital distributions. And that's true of 2 and 3, as I understand, and 1, I would assume. But I have finally had such an urge this week to play it. I was chatting with John outside my apartment the other day, and I realized that how worked up I'd gotten just telling him how much I loved the game and went, okay, I have to finally figure out
how to play.
Yes, because here's the thing. I love an emulator.
Sure.
But I struggle with the setup sometimes of emulators that came after the memory card era started.
Okay.
There can be some issues with, like, and also after the CD era started because it's not quite as simple as just dragging a file in. It's about that simple once you get it all set up, but it was a huge pain in the butt. Like, it took me a couple hours of hurdles.
Okay.
Especially getting my PS3 controller to be recognized as a Dreamcast controller. but
suppose that's not what they were meant for.
It definitely scratched the itch. I love the game. It plays almost the exact same. I will say, fighting games are weird when you emulate them because emulators have kind of an inherent latency between button presses and actions being taken. And you do feel it a little bit there where it's not quite as responsive as it was, even though I would assume that MVC, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for Xbox was also emulated. But for some reason, it just did not play. It feels a little looser. And that could be because of PC settings. That could be because, you know, a lot of emulators upscale graphics, although this is mostly sprite-based, though there are some, like, polygon effects and stuff. But there's something about it that just feels slightly off. But in the meantime, it's really scratching the itch, and John told me he actually has an Xbox 360 stored away somewhere that has it installed. So I'm very excited. He and I are going to be playing some matches soon.
Yeah, I know there's a shot to get the third game in the series, and that was also pulled. So
yeah, exactly. Which is just so funny, though. You know, Evo just ended 2 weeks ago, and they still play Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom
right.
3. But all of them are basically having to use legacy systems where you can't reinstall the game at any point and all this stuff. It's funny because it still has a competitive scene, but you can't buy the game anymore.
You would think that there's money to be made there if they'd renew the license.
Yes. Oh, and just to be clear, yeah, I know, really. Well, I don't think that it's an issue of that license expiring. I think it's more of a Marvel has, you know, bigger fish to fry.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, I think it's more Marvel and Capcom working together, I think, that the licensing expired on.
Okay.
I don't think it's the actual, like, franchise that has
maybe
expired.
We'll get Marvel versus Star Wars.
You know, you never know, although I don't think Marvel, well, yeah, maybe we would. I mean, that'd be, I don't think I'd like that. Honestly, I wasn't a huge fan of Soul Calibur, was it 4 that had Yoda and Darth
yeah,
Vader?
Well, or they could go back to that PlayStation Star Wars fighting game Masters of something that wasn't well received.
Sure. Well, I mean, and here's the thing. For those who enjoyed the Star Wars Soul Caliburs, I just want to say, if you played as Yoda, you are the odd job of those games. You're the worst. You are literally shorter. You're half the size of everyone else, and high attacks just don't hit you. Like, it's ridiculous. Yep. In a fighting game that's based on low, medium, high, it's very frustrating. But, yeah, so I'm having a lot of fun playing back through Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and I didn't actually realize, because I own multiple copies of it for Xbox 360, because I'm not a console gamer, as you guys know, but I've lived with multiple roommates who have had it, and almost all of them, I'm like, okay, as far as if you ever wanted to justify this, we're getting this, then here's the game to play. We'll play couch co-op together, because it's great. But interesting difference, I didn't realize, in the Dreamcast version, you actually have to unlock the characters. You get points for winning the like arcade and training modes and all
that. Oh, okay.
And
suppose it keeps you playing through.
Yeah, and then you spend the points on characters and outfits, whereas on the live arcade version, you just start with all the characters unlocked.
I do kind of like that, being able to unlock stuff and kind of progress in a way.
I like it. And it's not too grueling. Like, it's not, like, outrageously overpriced stuff. Obviously, it came from before microtransactions. Because
right. If only they knew.
Seriously, it's very strange to me. I played through the arcade mode on easy and got enough money to unlock 3 characters.
Okay.
Like, you'd never see that nowadays.
Oh, no. You'd have to grind and grind to get one.
Exactly. And so I am okay with it because it really freshened things up and it's going to give me a little more longevity for the game. But then again, at the same time, all of my best characters were locked when I first started. Just for those who have played, my favorite characters are Gambit, Captain Commando, and probably Gambit, Captain Commando, and I'd say Sentinel, and all 3 of those are unlocked.
Switching topics.
Sure.
Very smooth transition. Since you said microtransactions and we had been talking about card games before, the new Windows 10 is out. Did you hear what they did to Solitaire?
What?
So, apparently this was the case with Windows 8, but Solitaire
but
didn't...
got Windows 8.
But, well, yeah, and also Solitaire didn't come bundled with the OS. Now
sure.
That it is bundled, there is a paywall to play Solitaire. So you can tinker with it, I believe, for a little bit, but you have to, it's like it's ads and everything, and it's running all the way across the screen and blocking out gameplay, and you have to like get coins or something to take turns or continue playing. I don't know, but basically there is like a $1.99 paywall on
you
it.
You know
now.
Why I have a bigger problem with that than most of these predatory systems? Do you know who plays Solitaire?
The elderly.
Yeah, and like my mom. And, like, you know, exactly.
Yep.
That bothers me a lot, actually, because...
they want your mom's $1.99.
Right, exactly. And on top of that, you're exploiting people who have income. Like, they have, like, the pension-style
right.
income. And on top of that, they are probably the only group that uses it that won't know that there's obviously going to be a million free versions on the Windows Store.
Right. And they also just, they have no idea at all what it is. You know, they don't, they understand
what,
that
what is
just the microtransactions. They're not aware
right.
of like how
they,
it's flooding.
They may not
and,
well, and they it, may not even understand necessarily that they're saying real money. It sounds like there's coins in addition to
right.
Gosh,
yeah,
that's really upsetting for me. You know, I'm increasingly feeling like microtransactions, even games that don't feature microtransactions, because they're having to compete with the longevity and progression of games with microtransactions, I feel like everything is just being stretched. We talked
oh, yes.
a little bit about how I'm not having time for some of these bigger Western RPGs lately. I think I've figured out, on top of me having less time, I think I've reached the threshold of how long a game needs to be for me.
Okay.
The Witcher 3 is a little bit long for me, I think. Even though I'm only 30 hours in, I know what percentage-ish that
oh,
is.
Yes.
And I don't know when I'm going to have the time to do all of this, you know? It's just, it's crazy to me. And so, oh, I don't know. I'm just, I'm very nervous about the overall effect that microtransactions are having on stuff when you see like things like Dead Space 3 where they had single player and they that had microtransactions and they said you can like you don't have to do these are for people who want to get through it faster, but what they don't mention is you literally had to grind to be able to
quite
have
a bit
those
too.
Same things
right.
Yes, exactly. And so they are tainting the gameplay because they're trying to make a quick buck,
you know, in the silver lining, I guess. Cortana is now on the OS.
Oh, wonderful.
And so I activated my laptop mic and started flirting with her a little bit.
Oh, how's
and,
that?
So it is quite humorous, actually. So I the first thing I did was I asked her where Master Chief was, and she said he is off saving the galaxy somewhere.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, I had tinkered with Siri beforehand to see how they would stack up to
sure,
each other.
Sure.
So I was asking Siri to send me tell me a joke, sing me a song,
sure.
do little things, tell
she
me
has
your
two
fate.
Of each
yeah one. Well, she barely could, sometimes she refused to do
yeah,
it
yeah exactly.
And Cortana's got a whole book of jokes for you. She will sing you a song, write you a poem. You can ask her what her favorite Halo game is, and she'll say 4, but she didn't like how it ended. Or she's like, I really enjoyed Halo 4, but right up until the end, I'm glad at least Master Chief made it out. So it is very cool that you can ask her Halo lore questions and things like that. But I even asked her, I was like, well, what do you think of Siri? And she's like, well, I'm glad she's out there at least trying to help people. So,
oh,
you know,
wow. Hey, look at them
yeah,
being
they,
catty.
Yeah,
I would have
they acknowledge
to take
it.
A cheap
so,
shot there,
nope.
you know? That's really
it's,
cool. You know, I've got to say, that pitch, that is the number one thing I'm looking forward to, almost more than the HoloLens, because I don't have to buy a peripheral
right.
or wait for all the bugs to be worked out of it. I desperately want a digital personal assistant. I use Siri and talk to text
sure.
more than I write emails nowadays. And I on my I have a Windows Surface and I or Microsoft Surface rather, and I desperately want to get Windows 10 on it just so I can talk to my computer all day
yeah.
long.
Yeah, no, it is a cool feature.
Oh, I feel like I'm like captain of a starship. It's so cool. Like, I love that kind of stuff. Actually, I think now, if I'm going to get Windows 10 tested on any device, I think I will probably check it out on my laptop either this week or next, maybe, once I hear a little bit more bug reports. Right now,
sure.
most of what we're hearing, I don't know about you, seems to be, it works.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems. I know NVIDIA was working closely with Microsoft, and they updated everything right away, and I haven't had any problems on my it's an Asus Republic of Gaming laptop, so it works for me. But
I'm assuming there are at least some software compatibility issues, right? Like, not all software can just run natively on 10, can it? Like,
not
if
yet.
It could run
no,
on
there's,
8 or
there's
7.
Some hiccups, but
I would assume so, yeah.
Getting there, but it was a quick install and everything. I didn't have any problems with that. Maybe 20 minutes. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Worked out.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for us today, you guys. Sorry again for the slightly shortened show. We'll be back to our normal expectations next week. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a 105 The Tickets video game podcast from Cold Omaha. If you liked the show or you want to leave a comment, you can check us out on iTunes or 105theticket.com. Please rate, subscribe, comment, tell us how bad we are, tell us how good we are. We really appreciate, you know, any interaction, any at all.
Tell us who your favorite is.
Exactly. So, yeah, thanks again for joining us, and game on.